John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour with your host, Bob Katie.
And John Piccirillo!
Oh, rock and roll, shake it on down, shake it to the sound. And oh, rock and roll, shake it on down, shake it to the ground. And oh, rock and roll, shake it on down, shake it on down.
Welcome to episode 208 of Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour, Rock Pod number 2.
Welcome, folks. I didn't want to do John's welcome report. He might get, sue me.
Yeah, infringement. obviously, the Collie Man is here.
God, I hate you.
Oh, come on. You do not.
What kind of dog you got?
What kind of dog do I got?
Yeah, what kind of dog you got?
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with the dog I got. It has something to do with the drop. Come on now. Come on now.
Come on.
Every day with you is a punch in the nads.
Yes, it is.
That's right, goddammit.
Thank you for correcting me, Bob. That's how I learned.
You're right, Greg. Thanks for correcting me. That's how I learn.
That's exactly right. So we welcome to Rock Pod number 2. That's right. Obviously, we're changed, as we will say after, before everyone, hopefully we're not going to anymore, is that the we're doing, you're going to be seeing a couple of different shows mixed in with our usual podcast. With Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour. And on those two, which is Two Angry Assholes in the Rock Pod, it has just been me and Tom on the other one and me and Steve on this one. But I think as we go along, other people will get involved and and we'll be you'll be seeing different faces on the different podcasts. Just to, you know, get some more variety. There is variety in the Power Hour, so.
Variety in the Power Hour, Variety Hour.
Yes. Yeah, that's the Variety Power Hour. It's a powerful hour, and we're trying to bring the variety.
That's right.
So we're going to bring you Rock Pod number 2 right now. Rock Pod number 1, if you recall, we did 70s deep cuts Kiss songs. Probably could have put that a better way, but whatever. Now I had to think about it before I say it. That's the problem. So now we're going to do, I guess for a lack of a better term, we're saying 80s Kiss deep cuts, which we are, to really define it, are going from The Elder to Revenge. I know. Hold your emails. Hold your tweets. All that. Revenge isn't in the 80s.
Hold your comments at the bottom of the page.
We know. But we're throwing that into this mix because it fits in that category.
Right.
You know, and I know probably even more people are saying, what about Carnival of Souls? We could do Carnival of Souls. Steve might have a few on there. I couldn't stand the album, so I don't have any that would go on my list anyway.
I basically have one from Carnival of Souls, which I thought was a decent song, but.
It was them trying to be something they weren't completely.
And I even went Psycho Circus, but then we were like, well,
I, you know, I like a bunch of Psycho Circus, but you're talking about, it's got some Peter on it, some Ace. Actually, Bruce Kulick, didn't he play some on it?
Eric Singer.
There's a whole mishmash of that, and maybe we'll just talk about that album, you know, toward the end of this episode or something, but. Yeah, you're getting into the mid-90s at that point, and it's like, or late 90s, actually. So that really doesn't fit with the 80s theme for that. So this was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was harder than the 70s one.
Absolutely.
Because the 70s one, after I eliminated Alive and Alive 2, that you really had to go deep on some of the albums to get the deeper cuts.
Well, they were just pumping albums out in the '70s. I can't believe how many albums they put out in that 10-year span, because they were putting out what, 2 albums a year for the first couple of years.
Yeah,
and it was just like, wow, man, there's a lot of they had a career of 20 years in that 10 years. So it was just like, it was...
But I think they took a lot of songs off of the albums back then that weren't singles, and they did them, put them on the live albums, which made them staples, a Kiss staple, and that's what I was trying to stay away from.
Right.
I was trying to stay away from that, like, you know, the obvious ones. So if I, when I took those two away, in the 80s, there wasn't that.
Right.
You know, because they didn't really do a live album.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot more. They had a lot more singles, I guess you want to say, off of each album.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easier to eliminate. And like I mentioned before we started, I like more the deep cuts in the 80s than I did the singles.
Yeah,
you know, some of the singles I'm just like, oof. Now you know, I prefer this that or whatever.
There's a lot of people that really dig the whole 80s Kiss thing. A lot
oh
of
yeah,
yeah. So
yeah, I mean, I—that's when I got into Kiss. Was right at in between Animal Eyes and Lick It Up.
Mm.
So that's when I hit the whole Kiss thing. So along with being obviously being in seeing them live in the 80s, to me that was also going back and refining all the
right.
the makeup stuff and everything. Yep. So that was like a two thing process for me
right.
in that whole thing. But there were so many songs that I was just like that I found, especially like Hot in the Shade. I don't have one off of Hot in the Shade, I'll tell you right now, but I like so many. I love so many of the deep cuts, but your problem is they're competing against other deep cut songs. You know what I mean? And especially when you put Creatures in there, that takes away a lot of that puts a lot of the other songs to the side.
Right.
And to me, The Elder. I love The Elder.
I do, too. And I think a lot of Kiss fans do like it, but...
I think it's got its due a little bit more since time's gone by.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, yeah, there's a couple things that are hokey in it, but there's a lot that's good in it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought all the songs were pretty decent, but, you know... Everybody's going to, you know, have their opinion about it. You know, there's Kiss fans that love it, there's Kiss fans that hate it, but... You know, they always try to pull it off like, well, the fans hated it and it was just a big mistake. And it's not a terrible album. It really isn't.
I think the problem with that and Creatures of the Night was that especially a lot of the fans could tell that there was a lot of transition going on and a lot of chaos and lineup behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've got Peter's definitely out. But, you know, Ace isn't enjoying what he's doing, and the rumors are swirling that he's going to be gone within a couple albums, and then they got to find somebody to replace him while they're recording an album. You know what I mean? And it's like...
I knew Ace was gone before Creatures because they were doing shows with just Gene, Paul, and Eric.
Other TV show appearances,
yeah.
There
was just like no Ace all of a sudden.
Because he didn't show up.
And I found out Ace was gone when I went to the Civic Center and... saw Vinnie Vincent walk out, and they were like, oh, there's our new guitar. I was like, where's Ace? You know, of course, like you said, there wasn't the internet back then. You had no way of knowing this stuff unless you... I don't even know if rock magazines were carrying stuff like that at the time, but it was just like...
But sometimes they didn't even know.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was more like, oh, afterwards, you went like, what the fuck, and then you went and read about it.
Yeah.
Instead of finding out about it first.
That happened to me twice with Kiss. The other time was Mark St. John... was, you know, they came for Animal Eyes, and then all of a sudden, Bruce Kulick walks out. I'm like, who's this guy?
And like, that happened to me because I was there.
Yep.
So yeah.
It happened twice with Kiss with me.
Yeah. Because I was like, yeah, what's up with that? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Which actually probably the best thing that could happen to him, because Bruce Kulick was,
yeah,
you know, a great fit for them in that time and during that time.
When he stopped being a tree, it was great.
Janie was a tree. Well, I mean, what are you supposed to do when you got the other two running around like maniacs?
Right, 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 right.
You know what I mean?
Stay out of their way so you don't get hurt.
Exactly. Stay out of your way. That poor guy, he's just like, just let me play my parts and, you know,
yeah, right.
Leave me alone. You know, he's just not he just isn't a walk around type of guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Ace really wasn't like a crazy runaround guy either.
No, he was more of a stumbler.
Yeah. He's a stumbler. Vinnie Vincent wasn't a runaround guy either.
No, he was a kind of knees together kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
You're right, Greg. Thanks for correcting me. That's how I learn.
So, this episode, we are obviously going to get into it. 80s albums, Elder to Revenge. Steve, what's your number 10?
All right. So, we can go either direction with this, right? So, I'm going to just start with Revenge, actually, and I'm just going to say Spit.
Yeah, you'll find out that's higher on my list.
All right, so
that's a great song.
That it just
kind of beckons me back to older Kiss with Paul and Gene sharing some vocals in there.
She's got big hips, three lips. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best songs off that album.
Yeah, I would agree with you. So,
my number 10. And it obviously with Spit, we noticed the Bob Ezrin production,
right?
Which you know,
which probably why is so good.
Yeah, you can tell on that album. You know,
yep.
You sit there and go, it's a shame they probably didn't do more albums with Bob Ezrin. You know, my number 10 is Mr. Blackwell off of The Elder.
Excellent.
Yeah, Gene had some of the my favorite ones on there. Yeah. Under the Rose is another one.
Oh yeah,
that didn't make my top 10, but it was close.
Yep, Under the Rose is a great song.
Yeah, so they had a lot. Gene had a couple of really good ones off of. I find that as we were talking from the past episode where we said Dynasty was kind of a disappointment in Gene's songs.
He made up for it. Yeah.
Unmasked, great album for Gene songs. Yep. Same with continuing of The Elder, and obviously Creature is a very strong Gene songs on that. You know, and then, you know, he took a break for 1, 2, 3, 4. You know how many albums?
When he went to go be Mr. Hollywood?
Yeah, when he just kind of, you know, let Paul take basically be the sole running person in the band.
That's a sore subject with Paul.
You think? I don't think it's a sore subject. I think he likes to discuss it and tell everybody.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't blame him, because if you don't take credit for things in that band, Gene will take credit for it.
Absolutely.
If Gene sees credit lying on the floor, he will pick it up.
Listen, Gene still takes credit for I Love You in the sign language.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't make that up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know, Paul's really got to, you know, they really have to figure out the who wrote the Kiss sign thing. You know what I mean?
Well, they, you know,
Ace designed it and I redefined it. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so you put some lines around the outside. Okay, cool.
All right, well, then just both take credit for it. Me and Ace, they never say that, but they probably just should. Me and Paul, or me and Ace, came up with the actual sign we see today.
Right.
And everybody'd be happy.
Right, because they got to get that dig in there. Well, Ace designed it, but Paul redefined it, and that's the logo that we use.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
in their case, you know, somebody made the food, but the other person tasted it and decided it was good.
Right, so, exactly. Right.
Got it. You're number 9?
Only You, off The Elder.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. See, there's so many that were...
Only You. Oh, it's even got the same effect. Cool. Yeah,
we just got sued. Thanks. So we were making nothing, and now we're making minus nothing.
All right.
Every day with you is a punch in the nads.
Yep, thanks a lot for that one.
Not used to holding a tool with that kind of power, Stan? I'm kidding. I've seen yours while you were sleeping. It's great.
Have the answers... See, I did that in a two-parter thing, so you can't, you know.
No, you get sued twice.
What's your number 2?
My number 2.
Or your number 9.
Only use. See, that's another one, too. The big three for Gene on that, what are Blackwell, Under the Rose.
Only You.
And Only You, yeah.
Great.
Great songs. My number 9 is a Gene song, or a different album, though, Rock and Roll Hell.
Great song. Great song.
Again, another album just full of them.
And what do you think of the Ace Frehley version of that?
It's not Gene.
Right.
You know, it's hard to be better than what you think the original is, you know.
I think Ace, you know, there was a rumor that Ace was going to.
And on top of it, I don't. It's nothing against Ace. Kiss has redone their own songs, and I've been like, no. They redid Rock and Roll All Night for Smashes, Trashes, and Hits, right. And I couldn't get over that high-pitched snare in the beginning.
Right, right.
I was just like, nope. It's got that weird snare. No,
and
I don't like it.
And redoing Beth, while Eric Carr does have a great voice, it's not.
No, they should leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
There was a rumor that Ace was going to record. He was going to record the whole Creatures album with him singing and how, to show people how it would have been if he had been on it. But it's like, yeah, but even if you were on it, what are the chances that you would have? Maybe had one song, if any. Okay, so now you're going to show. Listen, man.
And he can't. He can try to sing Paul stuff?
That album is a Vinnie Vincent album. I'm sorry to say, and I don't know if people out there are going to agree with me or not, but it's like.
Yeah, because he wrote some of the songs on there.
Vinnie Vincent album. He's playing guitar on it.
The Vinnie. Well, we still don't know. They still haven't really come clean on who all the guitars are on there.
I heard Bob Kulick's on it.
Oh yeah, I'm assuming
I heard Bruce was on it.
The one thing I have gathered is I feel like the majority of the album, the guitars are actually Paul, mm-hmm. not lead wise, but you know, well, they went in there and he did a lot of the guitar work.
Well, who would have thought Brian Adams would have co-wrote War Machine?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
that's so odd.
It's just what an odd pairing.
Yeah. Well,
yes, and I mean Brian Adams cuts like a knife guy. Yeah, that's
yeah. Yeah. Summer 69.
Yeah.
That Brian Adams. Yeah, that's truly, truly bizarre. It really is when you read that. When you go through all these Kiss songs and you read the who's who on
who wrote them, right?
Who wrote them? You're sitting there going, huh?
What? I even had to look it up. I was like, it's got to be a different Brian Adams.
I heard the story before I noticed
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so, yeah. So, yeah, I heard the story before I noticed it. Went like, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. What's your number 8?
Little Caesar.
I knew that was going to make it on yours.
Eric.
It's a great song. It is. If we had a top 20, that would have made my top 20.
I just, you know something? The guy.
But I just couldn't put it up against these other ones that I was coming up with. That was the problem.
The guy was just, you know, so grateful and so happy to be in that band. And the guy had a great voice. I mean, what are the chances you've got four guys that can all sing, right? Then you replace the drummer, and the guy that you replace can sing real good. And it's just, I don't know.
And they're all short.
And they're all short. But what's weird, though? I don't know what they're doing with Eric Singer's boots or his lifts or whatever. He's got the same boots on as everybody else, and he's still down here, and they're up here. Now, when Peter Criss stood with him, he was even with him when he had the boots on. And Eric Carr was maybe a hair shorter. Eric Singer is still, like, down here, and the rest of the guys are up here, even with the platforms on. So
maybe he's really short.
Well, I've seen him without the boots on next to them, and, like, yeah, he's like...
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I don't why they... It just looks odd to me that they're all standing there with the boots on. He's... down here, so.
Or maybe he can't balance on higher boots.
That could be.
You know?
Because all they would really have to do, you don't have to change the look of the boot. It would be lifts inside of them, I would think.
Yeah, but maybe it's just not, he just doesn't feel it.
Meh.
You know what I mean? What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You know what I'm surprised about? When Gene is obviously checked out for a lot of the albums in the 80s, why, and Paul's taking over, why didn't Paul think to himself, well, you know what, maybe Eric's material, especially in the early days when he would just join the band, wasn't as strong, but why not write something with him or for him or help his songs and have some Eric songs on it? You're not relinquishing any power in the band. But you're probably making an album better by getting rid of a few of these hatchet jobs of Gene's.
Well, first of all...
And a few hatchet jobs of Paul's. You know what I mean?
Ego. I mean, obviously, Paul can write for these other guys. All the stuff he's written for Eric and Tommy
are great songs.
And, right, but the funny thing is the Eric Singer songs and the Tommy Thayer songs sound like something Peter or Ace would have written, because he knows how those guys write.
Well, he helped Ace write Into the Void, too.
Right. So why not? Yeah, like you said, why not put Eric on a few, have a different voice on there? I don't think Bruce could sing. I don't think he was a real strong singer.
No.
So
I don't think he wanted to have... Right. I don't think that was his...
But if you go back and you listen, if you go to YouTube and you look up Eric Carr, and he's got two albums out, they're compilations of what he was working on. There was one, Rockology, I can't remember the other one, but there's some great songs on there that he was working with Ace on, and he did. That's where that whole...
Breakout.
Right? Yeah. That's where Breakout came from, but Eric was forbidden to record with Ace, so, you know, that...
That's either here nor there. It doesn't matter. He could have brought it to the band. I'm just talking within the realms of
I know,
the band.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, you know, and I understand Paul's probably trying to tread water at that point. You know what I mean? With Gene completely checked out.
I think it had to be in defense to Paul, and like we were talking about, I don't know if we talked about it in the last one, but how they treated Eric Carr. I think you're right. I think Paul at one point was like, holy shit, I got to keep this band together. Gene's off doing movies. These other guys kind of look up to me. I'm kind of trying to keep them. It must have been that decade had to be tough for him.
Yeah.
To keep everything in context.
Sure.
Without, it could have easily just been like, okay, well, this is over. Gene's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And there's also nobody to check him. Because obviously Gene's not caring with the direction the band's going in, so when it went a little bit lighter with Crazy Nights and stuff, there was nobody to check him to go like, and we should stick on the harder side, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, or Asylum or something. Somebody sit there and go like, you really shouldn't wear the fluorescent color thing, you know? Holy crap.
The pink gloves with the green fluorescent.
Yeah. Nobody was there to check him, you know what I mean? To say, no,
well,
not a good idea.
As Gene said, I look like the fucky, not the fucker.
Did he say, I didn't know if I was the fucky or the fucker?
Something like that.
I didn't know if I looked like the fucky or the fucker.
He would have fit in Twisted Sister perfect at that time.
Yeah, he would have.
A real ugly guy with a lot of women's makeup on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a disturbing era. Oh,
that was scary.
Yeah. The other thing I was wondering too is why only one video off of Heaven's on Fire? Animalize.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I think
Thrills of the Night was a complete afterthought. That was just a live afterthought
that was
just poorly done.
Because
they do what, two off of Lick It Up.
Yeah, they did their post-apocalyptic Lick It Up and All Hell's Breaking Loose videos.
Yeah, but then they just go back and they do one off of Animalize.
Right. I don't know. And that was such a big deal, that video. I remember that video, they were hyping it. Not Kiss, but like MTV was hyping that so bad. Like, oh, you're about to see the new Kiss video, Heaven's on Fire, and they were just like pumping it.
Yeah.
It was cool, but it was like that's the first time we got to see Mark St. John. But it was cool, but it was just like, yeah, why didn't you? There was a lot of good songs on that album, so I don't
think. Yeah, I mean, you didn't think there was another hit off that album? You know?
Yeah.
It was MTV. You could just put it up there with a decent video, and it would have manufactured a hit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but then you go to Asylum, and they're doing three? All Night, Who Wants to Be Lonely, and Tears Are Falling.
Mm-hmm.
And same with... they do three off of Crazy Nights? Reason to Live, Crazy Nights, and Turn on the Night.
Turn on the Night. Yeah. I almost said Hide Your Heart.
No, that would have been in Hot in the Shade. What did they do? How many were they produced? Hide Your Heart, Rise to It, and did they do a third one on that?
I don't know. All I know is that the worst and most embarrassing video for me as a Kiss fan was Put the X in Sex.
Oh yeah.
And that song should not have even been written. And
the look back on it, it's a hilarious song.
And Paul strutting around with no guitar and trying to be that weird kind of a front man.
Yeah.
It's just too odd.
Yeah. The whole thing was weird. I think that's the height of Gene being checked out.
I think so too.
You know what I mean?
I think so too.
Like completely checked out. What was that? Your number 8?
Yeah, let me see. I think so, yes.
My number nine, I'm keeping it in, I'm keeping it with the Creatures, Keep Me Coming.
Hmm.
Love that song.
It's a great song.
Love that song. I think that you could tell that's when Paul's songs off of Creatures, it's just the precursor to him really heading into Lick It Up and Animalize in the whole 80s, the whole 80s thing.
Are we on the same thing? Because I got three songs crossed off.
Yeah, that was my number eight.
Okay, great. Yeah, so Keep Me Coming. Yeah, that
option. You're right, Greg. Thanks for correcting me. That's how I learn.
It is. So, Keep Me Coming is a great song. Just the way the intro, that guitar intro comes in.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Wah, that's great. Wah.
But you can tell that's where he's really starting to dominate a whole song with his higher register. Like the whole song.
Unfortunately, this is the reason he can't sing now. But
well, it's what happens.
It happens. You know.
It happens. What's your number seven?
Turn on the night.
See, I didn't. That was a video. How could you put that as a deep track?
Because a lot of
you on drugs.
You're doing this to me again. A lot of people, believe it or not, they don't know that song. I've played that song for. They're like,
I know, but that's not a deep track, though.
It is. I'm telling you,
it's not a deep
track. I think you can have a video and still have a deep track to it.
Not when it was. That was like a big. That was a major song for them for that album.
I know, but still, I still think it was a deep.
Because I love that song, but I didn't even come close. I didn't even think about it for this list.
I have to think about it.
Oh, that's what I call.
All right, you call shenanigans.
No, you can keep it on your list. I'm calling it shenanigans.
No, I X them out as I go, so I know where I am.
Oh. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great song, but it's completely, it was a completely big song for them.
All right.
You know, I remember that all over MTV.
You say Turn on the Night, I say Turn on the Night. Tomato, tomato, whatever, I don't know.
My uncle says you got a screw loose.
Oh, yeah.
My uncle.
Your uncle molests collies.
Yeah, you're never getting away from that.
Don't think, Axel, it makes my dick it.
My number seven. Okay, so my number seven. I never even knew there was a video for this song until like the 90s.
Okay.
Because I never had MTV as a kid, you know? So.
Bob was very abused. Go ahead. What is it?
Spoken like a truly unfunny alcoholic.
Thrills in the Night.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a big video for them.
It was, though. It was on Night Flight. It was on...
Alright. I didn't see it until later.
Where's my button? Where's my button? Meh.
Yeah, but it wasn't as big as Turn on the Night.
Thrills in the Night was on all the time.
The Turn on the Night was all over the place. Because when that album was out, that's when, you know, the hair band thing and whatever was on all the time.
I call shenanigans. Back-to-back shenanigans.
Don't think, Axel. Makes my dick itch.
Yeah, right there.
Okay.
Right there, pal.
Ah, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was debating whether to put this on there. And you know what? I can take it off and I can fill it just by thinking of another song. Very easily.
That's your choice.
You know what?
No. Nope.
Just to piss you off, I will do the right thing, and I will take that off, seeing that you say it's not, and I will put in its place, I will put Love Is Like a Slap in the Face.
That's a filthy song.
It's a great song, though. I think, see... That made me. I think that's where Gene reconnected and started waking up a little bit.
You can take that two ways, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
But I think that. I think Hot in the Shade. A lot of people bum on it too, and I thought it was. It had a lot of songs on it. I mean, I think that
15 songs.
Yeah, that's the most on any Kiss album. I think. I'm not including like greatest hits and live albums.
Yeah.
A studio album. But with the Streeth Giveth and the Streeth Taketh Away, mm-hmm. Love Is Like a Slap in the Face. What other ones did he have on there?
Oh, God.
Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell. That was one, too. He had some great songs off of that. So I'll go with that. Love is like a slap in the face. I thought he had better songs on Hot in the Shade than Paul did.
That is why I'm laughing.
Why?
I got Thrills in the Night on here, too.
You're an ass.
Every day with you is a punch in the nads.
Look.
You're a dick.
So you know I'm not making it up. So my next one is Thrills in the Night.
You're an asshole. Yeah.
But I will
asshole!
But I will change mine to Love is Like a Slap in the Face.
Really?
I can't believe I did that. I bummed on you and I looked down and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Oh, God.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I think you might be right. Thrills of the Night wasn't that well publicized.
What an asshole!
Yes. What's your next one, Rob?
What's my next one?
Mm-hmm.
My next one is Secretly Cruel.
Oh, that's a great song.
Asylum.
I won't sing it. I don't want to get sued.
I think it's a great song,
It is a great song. Absolutely. And I'll...
Yeah. It reminds me of those little hidden gene gems from, like, the 70s albums. Like, Two-Timer or Ladies in Waiting, you know... That style of going blind, you know what I mean? Where it doesn't stand out on the album. Like this is a single, but yet it's just you keep going back to it. And you keep listening. You're like, damn, that's a good song.
I think that goes with a lot of Kiss albums. A lot of people, though, they hear the hits and they don't dive deeper into it, and they're missing out on. So I mean, that's why we're doing this. But there's so many great songs that I like even better than the songs that were hits and famous.
Yeah, well, like I said, especially for the 80s, I like more of the deep cuts than I do the singles.
Right, right.
Yep, you know?
I would agree.
And also, maybe that's to a point where I'm just sick of the... How did you break that now? I replaced that whole fucking thing, and now you broke it. I want this to go online. Steve fucked it up and broke it. It's all fun and games till Steve breaks it.
All's I know.
Will you quit playing with it?
Hello, hello. All's I know.
Quit playing with it.
All's I know. Who sits
I'm
here?
I'm touching myself tonight.
Jay.
Okay. So he plays with this a lot, I think.
No, he doesn't. That was perfectly fine.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'm blaming you, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, he did it.
I don't know if I did it or not. How could it? How, I didn't.
Because I saw
it.
You. You keep doing this
well,
with
because
it.
Because it keeps dropping, and this is very unstable.
It doesn't keep dropping. You right. keep slouching is what it's doing. Jesus.
Yes. You on drugs?
Yes.
I know that. Yeah, so Secretly Cruel is like secretly one of my favorite songs.
Excellent.
Yes. What's your number six?
Danger.
That's a great tune. I see. I could do all of Creatures. I could just basically do all of Creatures. You know?
Could you?
Yeah, I could put all of Creatures right on there. It's every song, that is really a Kiss album that I could put on. And I mean, I know I can listen to any Kiss album through and through, but that's a Kiss album I can put on, and I really really enjoy every cut off the album.
That album even is very popular with non-Kiss fans. I know guys that absolutely hate Kiss, but you put Creatures on, it's dark, it's heavy. It's a metal album. They've never done, they don't do metal albums.
Yeah.
And it was heavy, man. It was a heavy album. It was dark.
I mean, there's only a handful of Kiss albums that I could sit there and really say that I can really put on, and I really love every single song.
I think The Elder was very dark.
Oh, people The Elder was really dark. But, like, you know, everybody's like, oh, how great Love Gun is of an album. And it is. But I can't listen to that whole album. Almost Human is a piece of garbage.
I skip tracks. So, you know, yeah, I know.
That song is just a piece of crap. Mm. And I'm rock and roll. Let's see. Rock and Roll Over, I can. Destroyer sometimes gets hard because it's just so played that you're just like, you know what? I don't want to hear fucking Beth, you know? I'm sorry. I know it's there's whatever, but I don't want to hear Beth for the 83rd fucking time.
They play out of the, what are those, 8 songs on an album? They play 4 out of the 8 songs on the radio. I mean, Flaming Youth has played a lot.
Yeah.
Pix 106. So,
well, King of the Nighttime World, I've heard too.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah. That
God of Thunder.
Played out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that whole one is.
Say that. Yeah. The whole album's played all the time, but. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, 2 of my favorite songs off that album aren't played enough, and that is Flaming Youth and Sweet Pain.
Yes. Oh, Sweet Pain. That's one of my favorite. Shit. That's my next song.
No, you can't have that. It's 70s, you asshole.
I know.
That should have been on that list.
I know.
But there was too much. So that, what was your number 5? Your 6?
Danger.
How did we get me doing these going first? Whatever. How did we fuck up? You're on 5, right?
I should have 1.
So it should be your 5.
4, 5. That.
Yeah. For some 5, reason, yeah. I went to whatever. You're number 5.
Okay. So okay, While the City Sleeps.
That's a good song. Yeah. Yep. The only reason I always used to overlook that song more was because I loved Thrills in the Night so much, and that's right before that on the album.
Yep.
So that's the only reason why that, after Thrills in the Night, you're like, When the City Sleeps. Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. I kind of put that in Gene's 80s bunch of, like, When the City Sleeps, Good Girl Gone Bad, mm-hmm. Murder in High Heels. Mm-hmm. He had that, like,
yeah.
You know.
Those...
Those deep track Gene songs. Gene songs.
Welcome to Gene of the Night.
While the City Sleeps. Yeah, it's got a in your head. You know, that is the production on that album is kind of very unique in a way, too. The sound of that album.
While the City Sleeps should have actually probably been on Unmasked.
Yeah. Yes.
That would have fit right in there.
Yep. Yeah. If they had made it a little bit more, they could have made it a little lighter, and it would have fit right in.
And who knows? It could have been left over from we don't know. You know?
Yeah, right. It's not like Gene was like, you know.
Right.
Gene was just dropping off songs and going, yeah, Paul, record this for me, and I'll put the vocals on later.
I know, right. Go ahead.
My number 5, which you already have on your list, is Spit.
Spit. Excellent.
Yeah. That is actually my favorite song off that whole album.
Yeah, that's just, well, like you said, it goes big. It's got that heaviness of Gene, and it goes into that Paul. It's just a great song.
And it's got like that whole area that is obviously Bob Ezrin production.
Yep.
So I mean, it's a can't miss on that one. What's your number 4?
A Million to One.
Well, that's a good song.
Yeah, I know.
That might be my favorite off of Lick It Up.
That's my favorite off of Lick It Up.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Lick It Up, again, has a lot of, because everybody goes to Lick It Up and All Hell's Breaking Loose, and then a lot gets left to the wayside, but fits like a glove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that Young and the Wasted,
mm-hmm.
That's... And that was great when they let Eric sing that.
Yeah, it was.
You know.
Yep.
That was, you don't realize how, yeah, very, you don't realize how strong Lick It Up is until you really go back and listen to that, that album.
No, it's a great album. And, you know, it's crazy, too, because I've been on the, I found alternative covers where they actually put them in costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
With the white background and stuff. You know, it's just funny, because, that's a whole other issue, the whole makeup thing, but anyway.
What were you going to say?
Well, you know, just like, I think that was an attempt to save Kiss, and I don't think they needed to do it. I think Vinny, by putting so much into those 2 albums, the music stood on its own, and I don't think they needed
to. I think Lick It Up musically was right place, right time, where I think... Creatures, it's a stronger album in my opinion than Lick It Up,
mm-hmm.
but it's just it's a year and a half too, or, you know, really realistically a year and a half too early,
mm-hmm.
you know what mm-hmm. I mean, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what I mean, because 83 is what it's really, I mean, you're really starting to, that whole wave of the heavy metal wave is really starting to pick up steam.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yeah. when they did Creatures, it was too heavy even for people like be like, oh, Kiss is really too, that's even too heavy for Kiss. You know what I mean? But yeah. You've got in 82, I mean, what do you got? When does
Well, Shout the Devil had come out.
Was Shout the Devil 82?
Yeah.
No. That wasn't 82.
Yeah, what? 83?
That was 84, wasn't it?
No, cuz Too Fast for Love was 82.
Yeah.
81, 82-ish. So, yeah, that Creatures of the Night album could have stood toe to toe with Shout at the Devil.
That's sure, and then but you've also got this undercurrent of these great metal albums being made. You've got Maiden doing Number of the Beast in 82. You've got
Number of the Beast was 79.
What?
Yeah,
Bruce wasn't in the band.
79 was Killers. Look it up. Killers.
Okay. I'm going to look
Killers,
it up. You're going to feel stupid.
I'm pretty sure. Why do I? Or maybe I'm thinking of Van Halen. Well, I see a 79 on. Or
Van Halen 78.
78. Just for the hell of it. I'm probably wrong, but just. I don't know. I don't know why I got that in my head that it was. Bruce was 79 or something like that.
No. He's.
So Killers and. Iron Maiden and Killers was.
No, Iron Maiden and Killers, you're talking... Well, Number of the Beast is 82.
Okay.
Right here.
Okay. So... You're right. Killers
is 81.
81, right. 80. And, okay. I was thinking of...
They were doing about one per year.
Right. Okay.
I'm trying to... Iron Maiden was 80.
Okay.
And what was Screaming for Vengeance for...
That was 82.
That was for Judas Priest?
82, yeah, because I remember that famous 82 concert.
I got to check this now because you're... Now
you don't trust me?
Yeah.
Could be 81.
It could be...
Dude, that was freaking 25 years ago. I don't know how much... 30 years ago almost.
Judas Priest. All right, let me...
Take a pause for the station identification.
Something like that.
Yeah, so...
We have that music. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Screaming for Vengeance was, but their big one was British Steel.
Well, there was the three. There was British Steel. There was Point of Entry, and then there was Screaming. Those were the three big Priest albums that you see right together.
Oh yeah, Point of Entry 81.
Yep.
Okay, so you're talking 80. Yeah, so you're talking about the movement, and
there was a lot of heavy shit coming out that time.
Yeah, so it really does, you know, maybe they thought it was too heavy for Kiss at the time. Creatures was,
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Well, you got to remember too. Look at the two prior albums. As Kiss fans, yeah, we love them, but. Prior three albums. I mean, you got Dynasty, you got Unmasked, and you got The Elder, which were not by any means anything great. And then all of a sudden, bang, you come out with an album like Creatures. It's like, wow, that's like a slap in the face. Loving you. Never mind. I was like,
wow, you sound like
I was trying to do the
dying there.
I was trying to do the thing.
Oh yeah, no, don't do the thing.
All right, I won't do the thing.
I got my fingers crossed for a little freaky dinky.
I don't know. It's funny. It can't be just the makeup that took them from descending and with Creatures of the Night to suddenly in an upward. You know,
no, it was the music, but I think they thought that they needed a gimmick. It was a gimmick.
But Creatures of the Night, to me, is just as good as Lick It Up.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they thought that it was, and I think that they thought that they needed a gimmick and taking the makeup off. I don't care if it was the right time. You know, that's what Gene says. Oh, it was the right time, and it was just time to do it. That's bullshit. Those two albums were strong. And they took the makeup off as just another way to sell albums and that's my feeling on it anyway. I don't think that. I think it was premature. I think they should have let it go and see how what. And you know, hey, maybe the whole makeup thing was getting hokey to them too. Maybe it was getting to be like, hey, you know, this is getting silly now. Let's just do it. And
it was good seeing all the turnover in guitar players. You know, that means they would have had to come up with a character for Mark St. John, and then one for, and I don't even know if Bruce would have been in the band with the makeup. He might have been, you know what I mean?
There is,
because I mean, his brother was like that, Bob Kulick. I mean, that he was kind of about wanting to do the makeup thing.
There is stuff on the internet of Bruce with makeup on, and it's sort of like this dog image. Yeah, I was like that.
Dog man. Woof, woof,
dog man. Woof.
My uncle says you got a screw loose.
Oh, yeah. Your uncle molests collies.
Right.
It's the only dog drop I got. So, you're number four.
So, I went with Young and Wasted, thinking of Eric Carr again. I know he didn't record it, but when you said that's why I started laughing.
Did it when you sang it live.
Yeah, when you started to mention those songs, he would have been a perfect fit to do that on an album.
Yeah,
like you said, why didn't they do that more with him?
Exactly.
Even one song would have been fine.
Sure, give him one song an album.
An album, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's not like Gene was writing great material that needed to be done.
Right.
You know, yeah, I mean, Burn, Bitch, Burn, really? Ugh.
That.
Any way you slice it? Ugh. No.
Blech. Oh, yeah, that's just horrible nonsense.
Yeah.
Horrible filler. Like you said, filler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe not as much as Paul, but Gene had a lot of filler on some of these albums,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that were like, well, that's just not necessary. They could have given them, they could have done better songs and given them to Eric,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they probably felt more than anything in the '80s that it was they were kind of in an arms race with other bands.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they got to get it out there.
You can see how they changed with the bands that were coming out. Like, Lick It Up was actually kind of a good look for them. You know, they had the leather. They had it was
Animalize good. Wasn't bad.
And then Animalize
stuck more true to their form back to the early days of Kiss, where it was more just black leather.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When that Asylum shit came out.
Yeah, and Asylum really went.
Paul was wearing fluorescent pink gloves and a fluorescent green jacket, and Gene just looked like a drag queen.
Yeah,
and even it was just horrible. It was like just like a bunch of horrible.
And then Crazy Nights was just I don't know what Crazy Nights was. Paul's at the spandex.
Paul was almost
Gene's got Gene's more just black leather.
Yep.
Paul's got the spandex.
Bruce has got the nuclear suit.
Yeah, he's in a suit. I don't think they knew what the fuck they were doing to that album.
Paul almost looked like he was going for a David Lee Roth type of a look.
Yeah, well, spandex. Yeah, the spandex.
The long jackets. Yeah. So,
that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then 88 hit, and then, well, when 89, when they did Hot in the Shade, you know, again, I don't think they really knew what they were going for. You know, were they going for like the executive look or something?
And then
all had nice shirts on, and you know.
And then they finally got their look right on Revenge.
Yeah,
that's what it should have been.
Yeah,
the
they
time.
Finally got. Yeah. Yeah, they got a little bit more back to
black leather and.
Yeah, so definitely, there was the three album period, in the from like 85 to 90 where they were just confused look wise.
Yeah,
you know, not that I think Hot in the Shade was bad for them.
No,
I don't think they looked ridiculous like the previous, like nothing says more ridiculous. Two things. Nothing looks more ridiculous,
yeah,
than the Elder look and Asylum look.
Yeah, what they were thinking.
Those were the ones where you just go, really?
It was very odd that they all chopped all their hair off, and they were.
For the Elder? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Paul with the feathered. I was.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Asylum look is just bad all the way around for everybody.
That was just, I don't know, when they walked out of their dressing rooms and who was dressing them, and somebody needed to kick that costume mistress's ass because she was fucking them up.
Well, I see, but that's the thing, because they couldn't change the makeup, and because they didn't have the makeup on, and
right,
they didn't
right.
have the over the top. That's what they were probably thinking was going to bring them out.
Right, right.
Which was not
good. It brought them out all right.
You did number four, right? What was your number four?
Mine was Young and Wasted.
Okay. My number four is Dark Light.
Great song.
Yeah. With Ace. The last Ace kit. Well, not the last one, but the one for his original run.
Wish we could play little clips of these.
I know, but no. Can't.
I know.
We'll get blocked instantly.
YouTube, and then once Gene gets whiff of it, and he will.
Oh, yeah.
He'd get whiff if somebody was playing his music illegally in Antarctica.
Gene probably has spent $1 billion on some algorithm that gets him his 5 cents per block or something. You know what I mean?
Is someone playing Detroit?
Yeah.
Someone's playing Detroit Rock City.
Yeah. Oh, that's... and they're earning 5 cents? I'm taking four of that.
Four and a half.
Yeah, four and a half. 475. Yeah, Dark Light, great riff. Again, it was Ace. With all the confusion around, even though I like a lot of the Elder, what they're trying to do, Ace with the straight rock song.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and absolutely. It just makes it a great song. It sticks out in the whole thing.
It's getting darker all the time.
Your number three?
I actually went with an Ace one, too, off of that album. Escape from the Island. I know there's no vocals on it, but it just kind of like...
Ace wrote that?
Yep. Kind of just spotlights his guitar playing, and it's just a really cool song, and I kind of think it ties the album together. Like I said, I'm not one for instrumentals, but that was just...
That album, they were really big on the air horn, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do here, but let's put an air horn.
If it works, it works.
Yeah, put it on there 1,000 times. Really, number three, you go an instrumental.
Hey.
Wow.
Hey.
Wow-wee.
Yeah. It's a deep track, all right.
I guess so. I guess so.
That's deep, deep in the woods.
Deep, 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 deep.
Don't think, Axel. Makes my dick itch.
My number three is A Million to One.
All right.
I mean, that's I thought it was great when Paul did his solo tour in the 2000s there, and he pulled out like Magic Touch, Million to One.
That was great. That's a, you know, you got that DVD?
Yeah.
That's a great DVD.
And all the stuff off of his solo album. I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, to be able to hear, like, Wouldn't You Like to Know Me? And
what a killer freaking band he had behind him, too, man.
Yeah.
Rock star supernova band or whatever the frig it was.
So, I mean, I know he did a little bit lighter. I think he had the keyboard player and stuff like that. I would like to seen him a little bit more raw or without the keyboard part and everything. That's just the way I see him more, but... it was still great. Still great to see all those songs done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Done like that. And A Million to One, and another great unsung track by Paul. Number two.
Now, here's where we go on to the
here we go.
Carnival of Souls.
Now, what will that asshole think of next?
Up to number two? Really?
It's a great song, and it's a deep track.
It's going to be Jungle, isn't it?
No.
No?
Childhood's End.
Gene, yeah.
If
I have to listen to a song off that album, I'll give you that, but it's not making my top 30.
It's a Beatles-ish almost kind of a song, talking about a pretty sensitive subject.
Album was so monotone. It was like, okay, guys, you know what? We're not depressed enough.
Well,
so we're just going to sit right here in that alternative depression tone, but we're going to do the whole... That's one of the reasons why I don't like Alice in Chains that much. It's because every Alice in Chains song sounds the same. Same thing with Nirvana. I really don't like Nirvana. It's that same monotone thing.
Obviously, their music got to them because all the fucking singers from those bands are dead. Every one of them. Except for the guy from Pearl Jam. Every guy that came out with that, every grunge band that came out in the 90s, every singer's dead. Why?
Well, not everyone, but...
Well, with the exception...
Smashing Pumpkins, he's still alive.
That's not part of that movement. I think that movement would be Alice in Chains, Soundgarden,
Nirvana.
Nirvana and...
STP?
STP.
I don't even really count... STP was in the mix of that, but they weren't...
They were a San Francisco band, though. They weren't a Seattle band.
Oh, STP I love, because they weren't that monotone. A lot of their shit was so different.
And I forgot to mention the guy... For anybody who doesn't know this, Pearl Jam... was originally called Mother Love Bone. They had a singer. He died of a heroin overdose. Every singer from every band, with the exception of Pearl Jam, is dead. Coincidence? I think not. I think the music drove him to it, personally.
Yeah.
That music is so depressing.
Yeah, and when Kiss decided to do that whole album like that, I was like, you know what? I think I let Phil borrow my... I think Phil still got it.
So you never wanted it back?
I don't want it back.
Well, why was it? It was called Carnival of Souls, The Final Sessions.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought, you know, who knows. But yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, obviously, to write that kind of music, as those guys did in those grunge bands, it's got to be, it's just very, it's very dark and it's very unhappy. It doesn't lift your spirits. It doesn't make you feel good. Music should make you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, and that whole...
Well, especially when you have a band that's made their whole career off of that.
Right.
You know? Right. It's like when Van Halen put Van Halen 3 out with Gary Cherone. Love Gary Cherone. So disappointed that they just misused him because Ed wanted to get serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to get serious, so I'm going to write an album that is no fun.
Yeah, you've been writing party music for 20 years, man. Don't get serious on us now.
Yeah, don't get totally fucking serious. What the hell's all this shit? Yeah, that's completely ridiculous. With the Carnival of Souls is absolutely my least favorite Kiss album of all time, without a doubt.
I just
with Monster and Sonic Boom, which I still like a bunch of songs off of each album, even though I can't put those two albums ahead of any 80s or 70s album, but I can still put it above Carnival of Souls.
There are good Gene and Paul songs on there, and if you just close your mind, my eyes, and pretend that...
Actually, the best songs off of Monster, to me, are Eric's song and Tommy Thayer's song.
Yeah.
They're my favorite songs off of it.
I know, Paul should have sang those. I think he wrote both of them, didn't he?
Probably did.
You know?
But I think they did a fine job with it, though.
Yeah, they did.
I thought they did a fine job with that. That was your number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I can't believe you put that one all the way up to there.
Yeah.
I know what your number one is.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it is. I think I do.
I'll take
a guess when you get there. Let me do my number two.
Okay.
My number two is Nowhere to Run.
Great song.
Yeah. I mean, probably, possibly one of the best, just best all-around Kiss songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't know if there's another, is that just Eric, Gene, and Paul? I don't know if there was another. That just might be the three of them.
I don't.
Because the solo sounds like a Paul solo. Like more of a filler solo than like a real, you know what I mean?
It might be.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the three of them. What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know
why
it does that. It's loosey-goosey.
Jesus Christ. You're loosey-goosey. But Nowhere to Run was, I mean, it's off of Killers. And, you know, most of that album, half of that album was greatest hits, you know, stuff. And the other was Partners in Crime, I'm a Legend Tonight. It was just the three, or was there a fourth one?
I thought there was four on that, four originals.
All right, you're going to make me look it up. Hang on.
I think there was. Hold on. Put the music on.
Oh, that? They don't even have it listed in their discography.
They don't have, really?
In the one that I'm looking at. Yeah, I'm not even finding it in their discography. Which is very strange. Yeah, they don't. That's disheartening.
That is disheartening.
But it was an import, so maybe that's the reason why. Yeah, they don't have it at all on there. Live album, singles. Let me see. They have it in this discography. No, they don't have it in there either. So I don't know. I thought maybe there was four, but maybe there's just the three.
There might be.
Nowhere to Run. Great. One of Paul's best, I think.
Yep.
Just awesome. You know? And a little bit different because it has like they're rocking it, but they got some acoustic in there and stuff like that. A little bit different than. You know, it's funny because it also, whatever sessions they brought those out of, they don't sound like any of the albums around what they were doing.
Yeah, I wonder where those were left over from. If they were, they just wrote.
But they don't sound like they would have fit on anything else. I don't think they fit, my guess, and this is just an educated guess from all the stuff I've read and everything, is that. Didn't they have stuff written and weren't they headed in a different direction for The Elder?
Yep.
And then when they got that together with Bob Ezrin, they went to that.
Yeah.
So I tend to wonder if that was, you know what I mean?
That would have been a lot better.
Oh, it would have been a great album. Yeah. But to say that, but I love The Elder.
Yeah, so I know.
I like a lot of the stuff off The Elder. I would have liked to hear, I just would have liked to heard another album with what they were coming up with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're number one.
Well, go ahead.
Nowhere to Run?
No.
I thought that might be it.
But believe it or not, it's Saint and Sinner.
That's a great song. That is a great song.
Yeah,
I'm a saint.
But deuces are wild.
Yeah.
But wake up is
that
breakup.
Like I said, that whole Creatures album. You're right. From the first track to the last track.
When you said that about Creatures, I was like, yeah, he's right. Every song on that album is great. I mean,
I Love It Loud's the only one that I'll listen to, but I don't love anymore, and that's just because I've heard it so much.
So much, right.
You know what I mean? I've just heard that way too much, which I think, to be honest with you, I like War Machine better than I Love It Loud.
And it's so funny because War Machine sounds to me like a slowed-down version of...
Sex type thing. No, Sex Type Thing is a sped-up version of War Machine.
War Machine, whatever. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Exactly.
War Machine came a lot longer.
That's how I learned, Bob.
You're right, Greg. Thanks for correcting me. That's how I learn.
See, this is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Absolutely.
I can't complain about that. I mean, I don't think that... Definitely, that's a top 20. Actually, I probably would have put all the deep tracks off of Creatures. I mean, if you take away I Still Love You, I Love It Loud, Creatures of the Night, mm-hmm. I would have put the whole rest of that album in.
Yeah, I would have put I Still Love You in the garbage. But
why, you don't like that?
I just hate that. I don't know what it is about.
Probably because we heard it too much.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? They used it a lot
it's
during the
so
80s.
Slow and so freaking long.
Yeah, I think that's probably the problem with it more is it's long. But if you listen to most of the ballads they did through the 80s, that's probably the best one. Yeah, you had to be an asshole, didn't you?
Two. Okay. Hold on.
You think you guess what my number one is? You have no idea, do you?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
None.
King of the Mountain.
Wow. All right.
Love that
that's
song.
That's a great song.
I have no idea, but I heard that. That was such a great opening song for an album. It's just a killer Paul track.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
that is a great song, actually, yes.
Yeah. It came down between Nowhere to Run and King of the Mountain, and I think King of the Mountain, just for some reason, I'm always more, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like with Motley Crue. You know, when you go deep tracks on something like that, and City Boy Blues, great song to open an album with. You know what
yep.
I mean?
Yep.
But King of the Mountain, yeah, just awesome. I great drumming, great. It's everything, backing vocals, whole melody and everything. You know, it's got a great melody and it's got great power.
Yep.
And when Paul hits on those two things, It's usually they come out to be my favorite songs. Sure Know Something, one of my favorite songs. The power of that chorus. They hit the power and the melody.
You know,
it's great when they hit that together.
Realistically,
it's like chocolate and peanut butter. It works great together.
You just can't go wrong. I mean, realistically, Paul could have been a solo artist. I know Kiss. I mean, yes, you're going to say, oh, bullshit. Well, it launched him and everything like that. Yeah, it did. But, you know, he could have. His songwriting talent was, you know, above and beyond, I think. I mean, Ace is too. Ace probably would have ended up being a solo artist if he never was in Kiss or something else. But, you know, they just...
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think Ace needed Kiss to get to a certain level of songwriting and singing. You know what I mean?
I think he was afraid to sing, too. I don't think he wanted to sing.
I think he was also writing the songs and stuff. Gene and Paul, I think, for as much credit as they get for pounding Ace into oblivion on a lot of shit, they should be given the credit of them going, like, no, let's use that. It's great. Hey, you know what I mean? If you're not going to sing it, but let's use it.
Right,
you know what I
mean?
Like Parasite.
Because for a while, yeah.
Cold Gin and Strange Ways and, you know what I mean?
All three of them were singing his songs.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's like, why not? You know, so I think, you know, I think Ace needed a little bit more, See, here's the thing, and I think I've noticed it. I don't know, like Ace's first round with Freely's Comet, when he surrounded himself with a lot higher talent, like Todd Howarth,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. His music was a lot better. His songwriting was a lot better and everything. And it seems like lately when he's just shut himself off and it's just like, I'm writing these songs, I'm doing it and stuff, they haven't, I think you see the rough end of Ace and you don't, I think what Ace needs is he needs that person that's a little bit more opposite of what he is. He needs a little, that person that have a little bit like Paul was to him, like more melody.
Todd Howarth was to him, right?
And Todd Howarth and what was to him and stuff like that to make the song a little bit better, a little bit more melodic, you know, something like that.
The best song on the last album he put out was an Eddie Money song.
You know, well, the best album they put out on Anomaly was Fox on the Run. A sweet song.
So yeah. So stick to the covers, Ace. Maybe I don't know.
That's why he did the covers album. You know. Because it's, it just doesn't, it seems like he's missing that extra help in song, in writing, getting the better quality songs on that he needs. You know what I mean?
You know, plus two, I hated the whole situation where he fired his band and he hired Gene's band because Gene's like, my band's much better, which is total horseshit because, I don't know how many people know this, but the bass player in Chris's band is Chris Wise. And Chris Wise is from this area. We've known him for a long time. And the guy's one of the greatest bass players.
Ace's band.
Ace. Well, yeah.
You said Chris's band.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ace's band. He was one of the, the guy's played with the Cult. Now he's playing with Hollywood Vampires. I mean, the guy's a very sought-after bass player. And the drummer and Richie, I mean, Richie's been with Ace on and off for the past 20 some odd years. And, you know, I don't know. I just think Ace listens to the wrong. If Gene says it's okay, I better do it because Gene.
We don't know any of that, though.
It's just weird, though. Like, he had that band for so long, and then all of a sudden Gene said, my band's better. You need to use them. And all of a sudden, bang, he fires his band. He's still making horrible decisions, man. For a guy who's sober now. You know, maybe he should go back to the drink.
Well, I don't know. We haven't heard anything with this new band.
Yeah, I have. Nothing recorded, but what's recording? I mean, if you can
play. To be honest with you, the last bunch of, even before the live stuff that I've heard, Ace is not in full.
Well, you know, his hearing's almost gone, too.
Well, he's way out of key, and some of the stuff that he was trying to, what was he trying to play? He was trying to play his solo 78 solo album fully through, and it's like he wasn't even prepared.
Well, Eddie Trunk talks about that, how he's like, well, you know, how he's forgotten all of his solos. He's forgetting them.
But he's not preparing himself for it.
And also, Eddie said, he goes, you know, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but Ace has a severe hearing problem.
Yeah, but also, I think here's the difference. And again, you want to bum on Paul and Gene, go ahead. But Paul and Gene was the one, when it was Peter and Ace and Paul and Gene, that was like, we don't want to go out and look stupid. We're going to practice until we fucking die. Then we'll go out as a polished.
Well, you saw
a
when
polished
they were,
item.
We're getting ready for their reunion tour. Yeah. They were in a place like we used to go.
Yeah,
and they were like in there for like. They were
like drilling him.
Man,
what I
have loved to have been able to just sit in a corner
yeah.
and just watch that.
Yeah, I wanted to see the stuff that didn't make the video.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But we heard the stories that Peter, you know, was pissed off that he had to go back and learn shit that he wrote, the way he wrote it.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
You, like you said, you were telling me, I think, and I read this somewhere too, how Peter would sit there. It's too cold in here, and then when you put the air conditioning on, it's too cold in here, and then when you put the heat on, it's too hot in here. Then when you put the air conditioning on, it's too cold.
Yeah.
And but a lot
he put through Tom. He put Tommy Thayer through hell trying to relearn his songs. You know what I mean? Tommy knows him better than he does, and he's trying to help him, and he's just cursing at Tommy and fucking Tommy Thayer. Unfortunately, poor guy, he's taking a beating from Ace and Peter,
and he never. He's so
never,
humble.
Never, yeah. He never shot back at him or took digs or anything.
No, that's what makes me listen. I understand the whole makeup thing bugs a lot of guys, but listen, if I was a talented guitar player and they looked at me and they said, "Put the shit on," okay,
yeah.
I mean, you're not going to not do that gig.
I still love the story about what gig were they at, and it's after they Ace had almost missed a few shows. And they made they made a suit for Tommy.
Yes, yes.
And they it looked like Ace was going to miss one of the shows, and so they actually had Tommy all made up and everything, and Ace just literally they ended up being like a half hour late because Ace just walked in before they were going to go on, and instead of just and you'd think he'd be angry or something, but just walked by Tommy all made up in his outfit and went hi Tommy and walked by him.
That's the prickness of Ace. Like, you don't think you're going on, do you?
No, but it was just no. But the way it was described was he just walked in, and went, "Hi, Tommy." Like, hi.
Well,
as if he was just a normal, not even sitting there in makeup, just hi.
Well, it's just like when Peter made comments. He's like, you know, this guy's dressed in Ace's stuff. You know, 3 months ago, this guy was getting me my coffee and sandwiches. It's like, and that's the thing about Tommy. People don't realize. Tommy put together all the Kissology videos. He put together
Rock the Nation. Any video they did in the last 20, almost 30 years.
And he put together Kistry.
He
put together the Monster Book.
And he put together he was instrumental in doing the Kiss conventions.
Yeah, I mean, people do not realize how that guy's been with Kiss since.
To be honest with you, he's the smartest motherfucker because. Instead of being a washed up ex-80s guitar player playing in a Kiss tribute band, Gene said, "You might have to go get coffee. You might have to get sandwiches. But do you want a job that pays well, and you know, and to eventually be doing some cool stuff?"
Listen,
and he said, and he, you know what? He took the job, and look where he is right now.
Listen, the guy was basically hired as an assistant, and now. You're not an assistant anymore. Now you're running the videography. You're running the Kiss Empire. You're running the shit that the fans get their hands on.
That Gene and Paul don't want to go through the monotony of doing, and they trust him to do the decent product.
When they retire, when they're done with this tour, whatever happens, if they decide to replace themselves and whatever the rumors are. Tommy's still going to be working for the Kiss organization.
Yeah.
He's always going to have a job.
Yeah.
And he's always going to do his thing. And, you know, I don't hate Tommy and Eric. I really don't. I hate the fact that they're doing what they're doing. Not that what they're doing, what Gene and Paul are making him do. But anybody would take that gig. I don't give a shit. You go, "Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong." Listen.
Yeah, until it's presented to you. Yeah.
And, you know, listen.
You sit there and go, "Well, do I want to go and be in 13 different bands and be playing clubs, or do I want the stability of going out with a top grade you know, soundstage, everything, and basically probably be on salary and under contract and have stability and be able to put to bank money for my family for the future.
The funny thing is, Tommy and Eric have been in the band longer than all the original members combined. I mean, all the members combined. Eric has been in that band 23 years, something like that, 22 years.
Yeah, we're not talking consecutively, but...
Well, not, no, but...
Because Eric's got some gaps.
Those guys have been around the Kiss camp forever. And, you know, as much as I love Ace and I love Peter and even Eric and Vinny, you know, it comes a time when they just got Gene and Paul are just like, listen, we've got two guys that are stable. We got two guys that are going to be on time. They're going to, you know.
Well, they didn't want to deal. Well, at the time, Peter's physical abilities were in decline.
He's breaking down, sure.
He's in decline. Number that's the first thing. Number two is now we're not saying fact because we don't know any facts on all this. We just know what people say that are close to them. What they're saying is that Peter's wife changed him and made him very demanding. And of course, Peter's always been jealous of Ace's contract. Mm-hmm. Always been jealous of Ace's contract. We've heard that from way back. Mm-hmm. That's always been the case. And Ace, at the time, not showing up and everything else. And you know what? I know Ace now is thumping his chest being like, well, I'm sober 10 years or whatever and all this and all that. But, you know, I can understand how I think it's going to be weird because I think everybody should be included eventually somehow, some way in this end of the road thing. You know what I mean? But I understand for the last 20 years... me and you doing the band thing together and running through people and through the band and stuff like that. After a while, when you get people that show up, know their parts, do their stuff, and you have a great time with, and you're not worried about all the extra bullshit of, are they going to show up? Are they going to put, you know what I mean? Are they going to know their shit? Are they going to be able to play it? Are they going to, you know what I mean?
That is a horrible.
Is today Tuesday? Are we going to have to go drag them out from underneath their bed? You know, I mean, fuck.
We had to do that a lot.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, after a while, you're just like, well okay. You know what? I get to a point where you get a collective group that you feel comfortable and you feel good with and you play great with, you're like, I don't want to leave it. You
listen,
know?
When you got these guys and you told me, you said, listen, man, this is like, I don't have to even, there's no, like, you know, I don't know, I forget what days you guys practice, Monday or Wednesday.
Monday.
You know, Monday, those three guys are going to be here.
Yeah.
They're going to know their shit.
Yeah, it's great. They show up. They know their shit. We play it. I mean, we play some songs out of the right off the rip the first time, and it's like we all sit there and look at each other at the end and go, well, that came together.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Holy shit.
That's half the reason my frustration, too, of like, you know, how many times. I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to drag anybody down, but there were so many times where you would have to go over, or I would have to go over and be hitting the lead guitar player's pedals for him, or you would go, you're trying to concentrate on your part, and you have to cue three other people. I mean, and I get that. So, yeah, when you talk about it like that, and you say,
well,
hey.
Even the cueing thing's not a big deal. I mean, me and John still do that, but now it's more I look over and it's a glance or something like that.
Yeah,
sometimes he already knows it. We've done it so many times. Well, sometimes he's like, yeah, I know you're going to cue me, but we're doing it anyway.
Well, John is a totally different entity now. John was, you know, now he's so focused and so into it, and he changed and he adapted, and this is what, you know, this is why all you guys are doing, you know, you guys get along so well and everything goes so well, where you know even with me, I'm better and things are better, but I don't even trust me at times, you know. What I mean, so
we don't,
there's that, right? So there's,
he showed up today,
there's always gonna be,
bravo,
there's always gonna be that. Who wants worry? You go like, oh my god, is this guy going to show up to the fucking gig? Oh yeah. No, they've been here. They've been here for an hour already.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. No, so I get it.
There's no doubt.
So I get it. I get that with Kiss, man, and I get that you get sick and tired of dealing with boobs.
Yeah.
And buffoons.
Buffoons.
You know what I mean? Buffoons.
Buffoons.
And what you just said there, you crossed the line, buddy.
I know.
I'm sorry, that was the wrong button. Your button is.
Oh, I wish I was Beyonce.
I know it is. Well, that is, wow, we're way over.
Are we?
Yeah, well, let's do one thing and get out of here.
Okay.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Time to make the chimmy fucking chongas.
You can find us at Bob and John's Podcast at gmail.com, on Buzzsprout.com, Spotify, and iTunes. Or go check us out on whatever John said.
The Loose and Buttery.
Yeah, on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook Live. And go to our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour. Go check everything out. And we're going to have more rock pods. And if you have a suggestion for a rock pod,
and don't throw tell it our us way. To stick it up our ass.
You're on the rock pod!
You're right, Greg. Thanks for correcting me. That's how I learn.
Actually, we have one thing to say to you if you would tell us to stick it up our ass.
Right after you suck on these little Chinese nuts.
There you go. So, yeah, we'll be coming at you probably in a few more weeks with another rock pod.
I think that should be the opener.
What?
We're on the rock pod!
That's it.
Bam!
Hey, where's that button?
He's joking around. Feels so good when he jokes.
So long, gay boys.
Stadler?
Yeah, what?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.
Well, good night.
Ah, fuck you.